Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
Bam, bam, bam.
The Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Super Bowl 56.
Stafford takes it.
If you don't root for this guy, something's wrong with you.
And I'm going to have an opportunity to be in another one that I've always wanted to play in.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Live from Los Angeles, home of Super Bowl 56.
At SoFi Stadium.
Earlier on the show, Caesars Sportsbook Chief Trends Officer Trey Wingo. Coming up, host of the Dan Patrick Show, Dan Patrick. Plus, NBC Sunday Night Football analyst Chris Collinsworth. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Super Bowl 56. It's our home game here in Los Angeles, California. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Chris Collinsworth is going to be calling in later on this hour. But joining me here for another segment is one of my favorites. I've known this man for a long time. I don't even know how to introduce you. The host of the Dan Patrick Show that precedes us on NBC Sports on Peacock every single day, as well as on NBC Sports Audio Sirius XM Channel 85. Good to see you, DP.
Good to see you.
Okay.
How are the kids, by the way?
Everybody's good.
Good.
Everybody's good. We're gonna leave Tay at home this week, my 8-year-old daughter. So far, have you been in SoFi Stadium?
I have not.
It is are you staying for the game or you're not?
I'm not.
Okay.
Because I had to do the show on
Monday morning. You gotta get
back
out.
Home.
Yes. It is a beautiful stadium, but for a kid, it is sensory overload. Like, it is a wipeout. They don't watch the game. They watch the screen above the stadium.
Well, it's like when you go to a Cowboy game.
Exactly. When I was the first time I was in that stadium, it was for that Super Bowl where Aaron Rodgers and the Packers won and beat the Steelers. I remember thinking to myself, I'm watching the game on the screen. I'm like, how lucky am I to be at a Super Bowl? Look at the damn people on the field. Like, what are you doing? But you just stare at that thing. And so, but anyway, we're gonna take Coop and Zan.
Good.
How are your kids?
They're all good. They're all good. And I had the Packer fan, my son, get crushed. But my daughters don't have any interest other than that it was in L.A. and they would love to go to L.A. And I said, shut it down. I need a little bit more evidence that you care about football.
You got to tighten the rotation for the playoffs, Dan. Yeah, that's what we're doing in our household. You got to tighten the rotation. Yeah. Like Riley, you know, to win a championship, you got to tighten the rotation.
My middle daughter said, hey, I'd love to go to the Super Bowl. I said, who's in it? She goes, two teams. Yo, okay. All right.
This sounds like the movie Diner. Like, you got a quiz in the basement to at least get to the title here.
And you know what? My wife doesn't know sports, but I love that she doesn't know sports because I come home and it's not like she'll go, hey, how about that Brady news? Huh? Yeah, right. And I'm like, we talk about a lot of other things. And my daughters don't follow sports, but then they blame me now because they'll meet boys who want to talk sports, but then they don't know sports. So
why do they blame you?
Because I didn't somehow expose them to sports.
Or you didn't want to force it down their throat.
No, I gave them that opportunity and they had no interest, but these guys who ask them out on dates think that they know sports.
Well,
and they
certainly
don't.
When they find out who dad is. I mean, and plus you can also, you can say to your kids, there's a little show called Sports Center, you know, that I used to be on, and
Google it.
Find it on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's kind of silly that this news is breaking right now, and it's something I'm sure you'll be talking about on your show tomorrow. It's crazy how in this 21st century, people gather news or glean news from who's unfollowing anybody on all of their social media accounts.
Uh-oh.
But apparently, 15 minutes ago, somebody noticed
someone noticed this last night, actually.
Last night?
Late.
Okay.
So this quarterback, guys, played in the Pro Bowl, was having an MVP-type year. You may have heard of him. Kyler Murray scrubbed everything Cardinals-related from his Instagram page. 1.3 million followers.
What's up with that? You know, like, how do you glean from this other than the fact
That what? Like, what is he?
Unhappy. Wants out.
What? They've given him everything.
Doesn't
he wants,
like
don't you
Cliff's
think?
Offense.
Oh, you're just stirring the pot. You don't know.
Well,
this
yeah,
for
no,
sure.
I don't know any of it for sure. But like,
can you make anything?
All of a sudden,
of this?
He's gone and deleted all his pictures and everything that he had to do with the Cardinals.
That's specific. That takes doing.
Was this after he threw the pick six in the Pro Bowl that he decided to do that?
It was noticed last night.
Did he blame the offensive coordinator in the Pro Bowl?
Possible.
I don't know. I mean, I had my infamous run-in with him at the Super Bowl in Atlanta when he just sat there and didn't answer any questions.
Well, that's because he was put out in front of the media by whoever he was.
Gatorade.
Yeah, right. And he had yet to announce whether he was going to play football or baseball. And we had a similar thing because we were just down the hall from you.
Yeah.
And I here's the crazy thing is he came to us first. We pre-taped him, and then he was on your show. We warmed him up for you. He was warmed up, Dan. Dan, we warmed him up and sent him down the hallway. Already talked. He was already in the business of talking. And that happened. And then all of a sudden it goes viral, what he was doing on your show. And we're like, well, get ready for us to press play on this thing later on. He wouldn't say a word.
No. And I
about all that.
Remember talking to two NFL teams, two people who worked with two different teams. And they said it made them like reconsider, you know, his draft status.
Right.
Even though they thought, okay, he'll probably go number one. But that personality scared them that, you know, he wasn't talking and why wasn't he talking? And somehow it became that teams took that interview,
right,
if you want to call it an interview. And because they're always looking for somebody loved the game, somebody a leader, somebody
red flags.
Great communicator. Yeah, they're always looking for something. It's, you know, what's the red flag? He didn't answer Dan Patrick's questions.
Right.
We're not taking him.
Well.
But I subsequently had an interview with him where he made fun of that. He was, you know, he had personality, made fun of it.
What else can you do after that, right? I mean,
yeah.
So.
But I don't know if, you know, wasn't Cliff his guy? And
I guess so. And the crazy thing is that, you know, usually when you're drafted first, just ask Matthew Stafford, okay? I mean, ask Matthew Stafford, who's now in year 13. He's finally making it to the Super Bowl. Had to go in and have, an epiphany moment and share it with his wife. As a group, as a family, then decide, yeah, we are going to press the button of I want out of here. We want out of here. And it's emotional. It's so tough. And he did it. Just ask him how long it takes. How many people get DeAndre Hopkins and the A.J. Green and, you know, James Conner and have all of these folks around you? Let's add Watt. I mean, I don't know what this could be. You have to view that something pissed him off. I mean, to cleanse an account like that, I mean, you could have somebody do it, but at least it's the decision of do it because you know people are going to read into it.
But so. He still has his Oakland A's account, so.
Oh, my word. I bet. Start to look for it. No, yeah. I mean, because.
He's not following the Cardinals
how about this
either.
How about this, though? Like, let's just say this. You add him to the mix of wanting out and add him to the mix of the quarterback carousel. What happens then? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you want to add him. What do you do with that information? Because the Cardinals wouldn't do anything like that. And what, like, I don't know.
Well, I still wonder if, you know, Matthew Stafford was going to end up with Carolina. And
Carolina would not be in the Super Bowl this week, though.
They would not be. But, you look at these things that something happens or it didn't happen, and then what the end result would be. You know, the Rams go all in. And Stafford, you know, you don't want to be the bad guy. You want the team to say, you know what, it's a mutual parting. This bet, you know, benefits the Lions, and Matthew is given all of this. It's like Seattle's going to come to this fork in the road with Russell Wilson. Because I think Russ is going to ask the Seahawks to do for him what the Lions did for Matthew Stafford. Like, you guys are going in a different direction. At my age, I want to play for somebody else, or this is where I want to play. And you don't want to be the bad guy, because I don't know this, but I don't think Russ and Pete Carroll that you want to continue to try to make that work, because I think it hasn't worked. I think it's worked sometimes because of and in spite of. And I could see Russ going, you know what? Let me go. I'm going to cost you this amount of money. Let me go. I'm going to play someplace else. And it goes back to the Super Bowl where he was the Walter Payton Man of the Year watching Mahomes and Brady play in a Super Bowl. He's like, what am I doing here?
I was about to say that we'll know he's unhappy if you book him for the Tuesday after the Super Bowl on the Dan Patrick Show.
But you know, what's interesting about that is we were going to have him on Friday.
Of Super Bowl week.
Of Super Bowl week.
Okay.
And he couldn't do it. But he said, I promise when I get back from the Super Bowl, I'll do it. Well, we didn't get him Monday, and then he said, you know, I'll do Tuesday. Well, because he was there at the Super Bowl watching Mahomes and Brady, I think it just reinstalled that,
yeah.
What am I doing here?
Well, they showed a shot of him in the commissioner's
booth. He looked miserable.
Miserable. He's the Walter Payton Man of the Year, which is the most prestigious honor you can get.
Yeah.
In many ways, you know, obviously MVP is one thing, but this is viewed by so many people as, you know, you get a patch. There's no MVP patch on your jersey.
But I think I think he's looking at now it's my legacy. I've been in two. I've won one. I'm watching Mahomes. He ain't going away. Brady's probably not going away. Brady got to pick a roster. Like, what am I doing in Seattle playing in games where it's, you know, 19-13 with 2 minutes to go and they want me to win the game? Let me go and have some fun. And I think because of that weekend, and I even said to him, I said, man, you looked miserable, because he did. And then all of a sudden I brought up a stat. I said, man, I was looking that you've been sacked on an average of 43 times per game or year. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and then all of a sudden he opened the door, and Russell Wilson doesn't open the door when you interview him. It's really rare. And all of a sudden I caught myself saying, wait, do you want to be traded?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, well, I don't know. And I went, okay, now we're having an interview. Now it's a conversation. Now it got real.
Yeah.
And then I just thought, all right, let me go. Let me see how far he'll let me go in there, because I was sort of reinforcing what he already probably believed, that why am I out there getting sacked 45 times a game? And, you know, they want me to win these games. And maybe you have a coach who wants to have the running game and another Legion of Boom, and it just doesn't work. But there are those moments when during an interview you go, oh, wow, okay, we got something here. That's Scottie Pippen, when Scottie Pippen was on.
Oh, my word.
And Scottie had the comments about Kevin Durant, and he's just talking about Kevin Durant and criticizing Kevin Durant, which I thought, okay, Scottie, if he wants to criticize, I mean, he's an analyst or... And then he started talking about the Tony Kukoc play, and Phil wanted Tony basically to take the last shot because Tony's white. And I'm thinking, nobody is picking up on this. They want to get the Kevin Durant part of this. I go, he's calling Phil Jackson a racist. And I said, get Scotty on, because I want to ask him. And then when I asked him, I said, are you calling Phil Jackson a racist? He said, yes. And then sometimes you get these answers. A lot of times you ask questions, you know what the answers are, or at least you have an idea.
Yeah.
That's one of those where I went, oh, wow, you just called Phil Jackson a racist.
Now it's on in terms of you having to be on your P's and Q's and also continue the conversation in a way where, you know, it doesn't go off the rails, you know, because it could potentially go off the rails there.
Well, I didn't want to.
Because if you don't push back, or you don't also delve into it a little bit more, now you own it. You know, like, that's part of the interviewing.
Well, even
trade.
When I said, well, Phil had Steve, or, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, defer to Steve Kerr for the last shot in the Utah game. He goes, oh, Michael did that for the cameras. So he's saying Michael purposely wanted Steve Kerr to take the jumper from the foul line because the cameras were on him with that documentary. And I go, wow, this is deep. And so I was trying to help Scotty there, because I thought, I don't know if he knows what he's saying.
Right.
And for years covering those, you know, NBA finals, we didn't talk to Scotty that much. It'd be Phil or Michael after a game.
Yeah.
We didn't have Scotty. I mean, Scotty sort of got lost. Nobody knew his thoughts on anything.
Yeah.
You know, and now he's getting his victory tour, if you want to call it, but it just, I don't know. I hate seeing it, because you know, you had this.
Yeah.
You had something special. And keep that. Hold on to that.
Right.
You know, Michael's not your friend. Michael wasn't anybody's friend. Just Michael, you already knew this, but I think Scotty getting embarrassed in the documentary, and then that was it. He was done. And I do understand that. If you're Michael, you know, Scotty Pippen, you're watching that documentary, and you're thinking, all right, hey, kids, Mike's going to say some nice things about me.
Oh, God.
And, I mean, how crushing would that be?
Beyond.
Crushing.
Crushing.
And I think that was the breaking point for Scotty. But you get these athletes sometimes, and you don't know if they're going to give you an honest answer.
So my question for you, Dan Patrick, is which one do you prefer where you get that news-breaking moment that is wild and you know you have to realize it in the moment and, you know, for the lack of a better phrase, deal with that, or somebody paying fealty to Qualcomm or Kyler Murray not answering the question and you know that's going to go viral as well? Dan, this is your sports talk radio moment. You have to choose. You can't just ride the fence. Like, which one are
you? When you get something that's truly honest, like Kyler Murray was just awkward. It became like I was waiting for Ashton Kutcher to come out and say, "You've been punked." And you got me, Ashton.
Well, I mean, are you saying that the Dark Knight was not paying fealty to Qualcomm at the during that interview years ago, Dan? Is that what you're saying?
Okay, so We booked Matt Harvey. And
okay, here you go.
He's got surgery. He's coming back, you know, whatever. And I was like, all right, I'll try Matt Harvey. I've never had him on before. I have him on. And I started asking questions. And then he didn't want to talk about his injury. He goes, I'll talk about it some other time. I'm just here to honor Qualcomm's. Yeah. You know, I go, what? And I thought, oh, wait, this cannot be happening. So I said, you know how this works, Matt. Like, you know, I ask you questions and then give you the opportunity to talk about what you're promoting. And you understand, I don't think he'd done many interviews. Hang up the phone. PR person is calling Fritzy. We're going to have him back on tomorrow. And then that exploded. It was like crazy. Mm-hmm. And that one was, I felt bad because sometimes these guys don't realize the quid pro quo. But if you said something in the moment, honest in the moment,
yeah.
Russell Wilson, because Russ doesn't do that. And when he did it, then I realized that, you know, all you want is somebody to give you the opening.
Sure.
And if they do, then you can do a good interview. Because somebody say, oh, you know, you ask great questions.
Right.
And I said, no, it's do I get great answers? Because my question can be great. Mm-hmm. But if your answer's not great, then is it a great question?
And I guess to bring it all full circle here, is that if, let's just say, Stafford wins, and the reason why he wins this week is because he did, in fact, decide I'm going to go for it and leave my situation, and that was inspired by Brady, and Russell Wilson was inspired by Brady to start thinking about maybe I should go somewhere else, maybe Stafford would be the next piece of evidence for him or for Rodgers or for maybe what's going on with Kyler Murray, the unfollowing people right now. It's kind of crazy that Brady 2 years ago might be a seismic event unless Joe Burrow says I'm the next Brady. So here we go. Like, that in a way is Super Bowl 56, what we're seeing play out writ large. Maybe.
Well, I think if Stafford wins the Super Bowl and performs well, he'll go to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. If Joe Burrow wins a Super Bowl, he's halfway to the Hall of Fame. You win another one, you're in the Hall of Fame. So you look at it from sort of the top of the Christmas tree down, start with the quarterbacks and the importance of that. And I think if Joe Burrow in his second year wins the Super Bowl, so now all of a sudden you've leapfrogged quite a few of these quarterbacks. And now you're in a conversation with Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and rightfully so.
Yes.
But I wondered, I asked Peter King about this. If we voted at the end of the year on the MVP and the Bengals won, and he said Joe Burrow would be your MVP.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if we had votes on MVPs at the end of seasons, all seasons,
right?
Baseball, basketball, football,
to include the whole thing.
How different it would be, because I always voted for Jordan for MVP.
Mm-hmm.
every year. Well, I just said, I'm voting for Michael. Yeah. And I had Barkley win it and Karl Malone win it. And I had the fans and their media in those cities going, how can you do that? You know, Barkley had a better year, or Karl Malone did. I said, but Michael's going to win the championship. <That's right. laughs> It was really easy.
You're going to have legs.
He's the MVP because he's going to win the NBA championship. They go, well, you don't know that. I go, that's what I'm banking on. That's value.
So what's your pick for the Super Bowl?
I can't see the Rams losing a game at home, but I would like to see the Bengals win. So,
kid from Ohio, everybody.
Yeah, you know what? It's a big deal. Those people have been through a lot. They it's an organization that doesn't spend money. They usually hire coaches on the cheap, but they finally found their quarterback. And if you think back, how many franchises have Kenny Anderson, Boomer Esiason, and Joe Burrow, Carson Palmer? Like, those are four franchise quarterbacks that you got.
Right.
And Kenny Anderson, to me, is a borderline Hall of Famer. They've had those things. They just haven't that surrounding group. And you'll hear from Chris Collinsworth today. He'll tell you Ja'Marr Chase, he thinks, will be one of the great wide receivers of all time and the greatest Bengal wide receiver of all time already. Mm-hmm. But you're going to win and lose this game because of your offensive line. I mean, I think that the Rams' approach will be like Tampa Bay's approach to Kansas City.
Last year.
We're just, here we come.
Here we go.
Deal with us. And, you know, they're going to put as much pressure on Joe Burrow as possible. And, you know, do you try to, can you survive 9 sacks again? And I just don't see that happening. But it would be a wonderful story if Joe wins and the Bengals.
DP, thanks for coming here. I will be on your show tomorrow to complete the home and home. Go ahead. Just touch the trophy. I knew you would just leave your finger.
I knew you'd I had do a burrito that. Earlier. Oh, so.
There you go. All right. So disrespectful.
Maybe take a picture here.
Here, I'll smile for you. There you go. All right, there you go.
There's Rich Eisen. And there we go.
Jeez, all right.
There we
He put it in portrait mode, I'm sure. I'm blurry in the background. Good to see you, DP.
Hey, are we going to take my shirt off tonight? You take your pants off tonight?
Yes. Collinsworth's on hold right now saying, what is happening?
Wait, is that a yes or no?
Yeah, I think it was night one in that Super Bowl.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, we have to.
Well,
let's talk.
All right.
DP, I'll see you in the morning.
Thank you, buddy.
There you go. Dan Patrick, everybody. We'll see you, Dan. We'll be on Dan's show tomorrow every day from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on NBC Sports on Peacock.
Whoa. And handsome Chris Collinsworth.
Radio every year. Handsome Chris Collinsworth when we come back. Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
All right, we're back here on NBC Sports on Peacock and on NBC and Peacock and Telemundo, the biggest Sunday night of them all, Super Bowl 56, live from SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, California. They're putting Aaron Donald up there against Joe Burrow. I guess that's they're going to be on the field at the same time.
Right, they're going head-to-head.
Yeah, that makes more sense to me.
And Burrow's got shoulder on Aaron Donald in this Pro Bowl. Oh, I should have brought that up with Dan while he was here.
Well, we can go grab him. Just like we did with Calvin Johnson. No. He's still back there.
I'll do it tomorrow.
I'll do it tomorrow. He's got shoulder on Aaron Donald. I don't know. Nobody gets shoulder on Aaron Donald. Anyway, that's starting at noon Eastern on the Family of Networks. And the man who's going to be in the booth with Al Michaels for this game is joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Pleased to have Chris Collinsworth back on here. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm good, Rich. Could we rewind just a bit, the end with you and Dan?
Sure.
And, you're going to take off and all that stuff. Can we just do that for clarification?
Sure. Taking off shirts and pants and things of that nature? Is that what you're saying? What happened? You guys took your shirts off one time with Dan?
So, at the All-Star game...
I don't know if, by the way, Chris, you didn't really want to know, right? You just used that as just something humorous maybe to start our interview? Is that the way that works?
No, I really don't care.
I love Chris. I knew that. I sensed it, and you know, I didn't want you to go down that road if Chris didn't really care.
I'll tweet at you about it, Chris.
There you go. At Collinsworth PFF, right? That's the way we work, correct?
Something like that.
Okay, very good. What number Super Bowl is this for you broadcasting, Chris? What number is that?
The being the color analyst, this is the fifth, and this is the first one without Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Is that right? No kidding. So you're first, if I'm not mistaken. Were you in the booth with Fox for Eagles and Patriots? Right. I remember that one. Correct.
The coldest day in the history of Jacksonville. Yes, we were there.
I remember that. That was our first full year of NFL Network covering something from start to finish. Because we came on the year before, and it was Patriots and Panthers, and then the Patriots completed the back to back right there in Jacksonville. So that was one for you. This is now five.
It's really amazing when you think about it. And now, you know, Tom announcing his retirement, and it's just the whole full circle part of it. And we actually did the last game in Tampa, and didn't know it. You know, nobody knew it at the time. So it's amazing. And now here come the Cincinnati Bengals to take their place. So how do you figure that?
That is pretty amazing. No question about that. Chris Collinsworth here on the Rich Eisen Show. NetSuite by Oracle is a sponsor of the Rich Eisen Show. If you're ready to upgrade, go to netsuite.com/rich. Our terrestrial radio audience is back here, and Chris Collinsworth is on the Rich Eisen Show. So, Chris, how wild is it for you that you're calling a Super Bowl and the Cincinnati Bengals are in it? Walk me through that one for you.
Bizarre on every level. I can remember watching the Evan McPherson kick go through and going, oh, my goodness. I am going to be calling a Cincinnati Bengals Super Bowl. And you know what goes with that, too, right? You know... you're going to get, he's so biased for, or why does he hate the Bengals? And, you know, it's going to be one of those kind of days. But I'm still so excited to be there. I would have bought a ticket. I would have paid any amount of money to have a ticket to go watch this game. And I get to sit in the best seat in the house and next to Al and just enjoy it. So, it's a little daunting in that you got to call it, don't think a lot between what you see and what you say. And there'll be some wounded feelings at the end of it, I'm sure. But I'm really excited. I'm happy for the franchise. It's been a long time. But mostly I'm happy for the city of Cincinnati. You know, I mean, when a Midwestern city gets a Super Bowl, and the world's attention comes down on a place like Cincinnati or Kansas City or where Indianapolis or whatever you want to say, you know, it's just different. I mean, in L.A., it's great. They're excited. But the Grammys are coming up, or the Academy Awards are coming up, or the Lakers are coming up. And yet, for the city of Cincinnati, it is just all-encompassing. The city is orange, and all the buildings are lit up here, and there's just a real collective excitement going on.
And the interesting thing is, I'm just going through my head here, because the Bengals are usually the team you flex out of. When was the last time you called a Bengals game? Chris?
It has been a while. I was trying to figure that out as well. And I maybe 17, something like that.
Maybe.
But Rich, the strangest thing is, because we've done, what I think, 3 Rams games this year, including the playoff win over Tampa. But how much more I knew about the Rams than I knew about the Bengals. You know, I've got the Bengals game on, and, you know, it's one of many that I'm trying to watch, because you're also trying to watch, you know, whatever the big game is, and you're trying to watch whichever teams you're going to do next week. And, you know, you got all that going on a Sunday afternoon. But on Monday of last week, I said, I'm just going to start from scratch. I literally went through every one of their games. I watched all the defensive guys. I watched all the offensive throws and plays that Joe Burrow and these receivers had made. But it was enlightening for me to see just how exciting this team is. I mean, these are playmakers. If we come out of this game and the Bengals have won the football game, they are the new Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, they just are. These are playmakers that make exciting plays, that have a young quarterback, that are the new darlings of the NFL. If they lose, they're an up-and-coming team, and it's great, and the Rams deserve it, and all that sort of stuff. But if the Bengals win, that's quite the story.
Well, if the Bengals win, then Joe Burrow, as maybe the next Brady, will really leave the station because of year two and how talented he is and how his career has begun, or an ascendancy similar to Kurt Warner's. And I know that that's in theaters near you right now. But, I mean, kid from Athens, Ohio, who gets his shot in LSU, has one of the greatest seasons, if not the greatest season, in the history of college quarterbacking. First overall pick that nobody saw coming, right, until he had that season in LSU. And then 2 years later, he wins the Super Bowl for the Bengals. I don't know how you can compare that ascendancy with anybody, and that is on the line on Sunday when you're broadcast.
And the other thing that's kind of fun about it is that he couldn't even get on the field at Ohio State, right? I mean, that's step one. When he first went to LSU, it was like, okay, whatever. And then it just took off, and it's so amazing that a team that admittedly, I mean, they'll openly talk about that we knew we needed offensive line help here, and yet maybe because of the relationship, maybe because they're trying to build around a quarterback, who knows, but Joe Burrow clearly wanted his guy. He lit the world on fire with Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, they were just a dominant team in the dominant conference of the SEC, maybe one of the best college football teams we've ever seen. And now they're coming to the NFL, and it's almost like, well, we won in high school. We won in college. I won the Heisman Trophy. Why wouldn't I win the Super Bowl in my second year? Oh, by the way, coming off of major, major knee reconstruction, and some of my runs were the biggest plays in the game in the championship game.
Chris Collinsworth here on the Rich Eisen Show. You know, all that said, as we've just said about Joe Burrow, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Leonard Floyd, rest of this defense can make Joe's 9-sack win over Tennessee like a day at the beach, right? Like a pillow fight, I would imagine. How do you see this playing out, that dynamic on Sunday, Chris?
I mean, that's it. I think that's it in a nutshell, and maybe to narrow it down even a little bit more, the right guard position, Hakeem Adeniji and Jackson Carman rotated in there at the right guard position. Isaiah Prince filling in for Riley Reiff really did a pretty good job in the game. But, you know, the Rams and what they like to do with some of those overload looks really is going to put a lot of pressure on either guard. So you'll see Von Miller out wide. You'll see Aaron Donald out basically looking like a defensive end. And then you'll see Greg Gaines to that same side. But what that does is it holds that center in place there. And then you've got Aaron Donald with about a 5-yard run at your guard. And you've got Von Miller with about a 5-yard run at your tackle. So as a quarterback, you better get that thing out of there about as quickly as you possibly can. Because even if they just go straight bull rush, we've seen time after time those two guys have the ability to basically throw your offensive lineman at the quarterback.
That's basically it, right? I mean, obviously, Stafford, the crazy thing is how well he has been playing. And I don't mean that by crazy. I'm just saying the narrative about when he was acquired by the Rams from Detroit was, can he do it? You know, we've never seen him do it. Is it the Lions? Is it him? Is it a combination of both? And he's, you know, completely flipped his playoff record from 0-3 now to this year 3-0. And even in that crazy game in Tampa, if I had told you there would be four turnovers by the Rams on that day, you know, many people would say, well, how many by Stafford? He made every play, including the throw to Kupp at the end after it seemed that all was now tied but potentially lost. He's been remarkable these playoffs,
yeah, well,
Chris.
On the love of the game pass, right? Because Cooper Kupp is just the clear-out guy. But with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know there's a good chance that Todd Bowles is going to throw a blitz at you at any given time, and yet there they were, and that pass was incredible. I mean, it was incredible. You are under the ultimate pressure. Tom Brady has just brought his team all the way back.
Yeah.
Were we looking at the Atlanta Falcons kind of come back one more time here for this team to go on to the championship game? And yet here they are basically getting the ball with under a minute, whatever it was, 40 seconds and two passes to Cooper Kupp down the field, kick the game winner and walk off. That was a heck of a statement right there. I mean, it really was, because when that momentum shifts like that, the way that it did on Kansas City in that game a week ago, it is hard to get it back together. It is just hard. And with two throws, Matthew Stafford did what everybody was questioning whether or not he could do.
And how about Tom Brady's last snap of his career is a touchdown handoff to Leonard Fournette? I mean, who the hell knew at the time, right? Did you get any sense talking to him that week that this might be it, thinking about it, anything like that? Any indication different from any of the times you sat down with Brady or talked to him, Zoomed with him prior to this game?
Not what he said. There was a little bit of what he said, but there was a little swirl. You know what I mean? There was just a little swirl,
okay,
that this was a little bit different. And, you know, I can't help but think, Rich, you tell me, you know this league as well as I do. You know, if Chris Godwin is still playing, if Antonio Brown doesn't do the striptease, is this team still in the Super Bowl? I don't know, you know, because that was a very close margin of error there. And Tristan Wirfs wasn't playing at the right tackle position, arguably their best offensive lineman. So some unfortunate things down the stretch, and yet there was Tom one more time making that monster comeback, it's almost getting to the point in these playoffs where you expect it. Like, what lead is safe now in these crazy playoffs? It has just been, it's been otherworldly.
Well, have a great time calling it, man. You know the building, obviously, very well. I don't know. It's going to be Super Bowl. It's going to be in control of the game. So I don't know if Al's going to miss the Who's House chance. I know he loves that.
That's his favorite part of the whole day, yeah. Especially when pre-game warm-up. That's really good.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Al's on tomorrow's show, the national treasure that is Al Michaels. Have a great time calling the game, man. And, again, it's just it's pretty cool, right? Like, I guess I honestly thought when the Bengals made it that was it for the Rams, because I thought the Bengals had to face the 49ers in the Super Bowl, right?
I did, too. I did. I was like, this is not happening. But it was. It was happening. And then the Niners had the big lead, too. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Right. You'd see all that coming back at you. And I'm sure they've got everything set up with your records and Jamar Chase's for the broadcast. I can't wait to see all that, Chris.
Oh, yeah. That was so funny. Mike Brown hit me with that the other day about what great receivers we've had in Cincinnati. And I go, Mike, just stop it. This kid is off the charts. Don't compare him to anybody that we had on our team. This kid is just different. He's phenomenal. I really can't wait to watch him play in person.
Chris, I can't wait for you calling it. Thanks for the time. Enjoy the week. We'll see you out here in L.A., man. Thanks for the call.
But talk to you.
You're the best. That's Chris Collinsworth. He literally is the best. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And we also have Aikman, who also is the best. I know that you can't say one is the. Aikman's going to be here Thursday, and Collinsworth and Al Michaels tomorrow.
It'll be a great day. It's going to be a great day.
Oh, yeah. Dak's here, too, Thursday.
I mean,
Aikman and Dak.
Wow. I don't know how I'm going to act that
together.
Wow. I'm gonna act up.
Well, I think we should have both of them, you smiling next to your velvet ropes there that you've roped yourself off. I can't wait to tell Aikman why you've roped yourself off.
Again, I rope it off because of him. Because he brought me I've never met Troy Aikman. He's one of the few people in life. He brought me so much joy, Rich.
That will end Thursday.
I'm getting a little emotional already.
Do you like light lager? Do you like to drink light lager?
Is it his?
It is.
Well, yeah. I'll try it.
It's 8 beer. It's coming. I think he's going to be bringing that stuff. Hey,
can we drink on during the day?
Whatever you want to do. Do what you want to do.
So it's not just a Susie thing.
Dude, it's not just a Susie thing. Plus, don't you know Brockman's in charge of HR?
That is true.
Head of HR.
And that's my man's in there right there. So
it's literally the largest Achilles heel on our flow chart. As Brockman would fully admit.
He didn't want the job. We kind of made him take it, though.
The only thing he knows about human resources is the human fund. That's basically about it.
Benefit me.
When Callaway engineered Chrome Soft to be the best tour ball, it didn't just make the best players better, folks. It's made everyone better. Men, women, first-time major winners, repeat major winners, club champions, business golfers. The Chrome Soft family has the best tour performance for every type of performance. I use Chrome Soft because it's designed for the widest range of golfers who want better feel, more distance, incredible forgiveness. That's me. Better players looking for more workability. There's Chrome Soft X, providing excellent spin consistency, tour level, short game control. Finally, Chrome Soft XLS gives you a lower spin golf ball on longer shots, firmer feel, but still within high spin for you around the greens if you want it. Now, every Chrome Soft is enhanced with precision technology, which uses design techniques and manufacturing specifications up to 1/1000th of an inch. This ensures they're the highest quality, most consistent, fastest golf balls possible. So when you add it all up, it's really simple. Chrome Soft is better for the best and better for everyone. Find out which Chrome Soft is right for you at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. We'll check on everything else going on in the rest of the world and take your phone calls at 844-204-RICH when we come back here on this Monday kickoff of Super Bowl 56 Week Edition.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Hey everybody, we've got a new merchandise store, RichEisenShop.com. We've got shirts, hats, and a mug. Not just any shirts, inspirational shirts. Show your respect for others by wearing the word on your chest, or show your love of our show by wearing our logo on your chest. Get a trucker hat, running man on the front, party in the back. And get our famous mug that celebrities 5-finger discount for themselves when they come on the show. RichEisenShop.com. Order now.
All right, if I'm going to 5-finger discount something, do I say it on the air first?
Yeah.
You're hearing people just say the truth on the air and say, come get me, right? You're saying that all the time.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
All right. At NFL Network later on today, if I find a Rams helmet,
We need an update.
One time for the culture, Rich.
So if Hoskins takes the wide shot, people aren't like, that's not the real Rams helmet.
Right.
Rich, I'll give you a hat. Trade the hat for the helmet.
No. But it's not, Mike, you know, it's not like somebody's with a store, like a store there, you know, and, you know, behind a desk and saying, you know, would you like a Rams helmet? Here, sign right here and you'll take it. I mean, it's probably this. We probably have many of them around there. I just snag it. No one's going to miss it.
Put
except
it in a bag.
Who at NFL Network's looking for a Rams helmet this week? Pretty much everybody, right?
Right.
I probably should ask permission.
It's always better to ask forgiveness.
Right? Because we have a throwback.
A throwback. Oh, it's the old one.
Yeah, people are.
But that's what was in the back, and we just kind of threw it together. Yeah.
The Bengals have just been the same thing pretty much for the last.
Forever, really.
Well, they used to have one that said Bengals on the side.
When they changed that, 82, I think, right?
Something like that, right?
That's old school.
Collinsworth probably wore both versions of the helmet.
He definitely wore both of them.
By the way, do you notice that we have the Vince Lombardi trophy here?
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what that is.
And I need to wipe it down because Dan Patrick smudged it on. I told you. You can see the smudges. Can you see them?
Yes. We can see it. Look.
It's not good.
Sorry. Rich is going to get up and.
Bengals started in 1968.
Rich, I got the mic open closed if you want
to. I mean, look at this right here.
I mean, what are we doing?
Joined the NFL in 1970.
This is like.
These are. By the way,
I'm looking for the helmet change.
You're good, Rich. Yep.
By the way, these are not these are the smudges. You can see it. It looks like that's Dan Patrick's fingerprints.
Yeah.
You know,
not good.
Rich, can I drive around with that today?
Like, what you want to put it in your front seat?
Oh, that would be the greatest. I mean,
you're gonna get the carpool lane on 405.
Yeah, I got the VLT.
With that thing?
It's my buddy.
How
Vince.
Would you explain that if you got pulled over?
Imagine you get pulled respect. Over and you're like, I got the Vince Lombardi trophy seatbelted in my front seat next to me. Cop it half.
You know one thing you're definitely not doing
not
is
do
that. This thing's staying here. The case is more expensive than anything, maybe their car.
It actually is.
You know? NetSuite by Oracle is a sponsor of the Rich Eisen Show. Ready to upgrade? Go to netsuite.com/rich. Terzo in Iowa has been around for a long time. What's up, Terzo?
All rise.
What's up, Terzo?
Hey, what's up, Rich? What's up, brother? How are you guys doing today, man? Today's episode's been amazing.
Thanks, Terzo.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good. Hey, I appreciate that, Terzo. Right, you stopped us cold. So, what's on your mind? I appreciate it.
Well, listening to Dan for the couple segments that you had is just absolutely enjoyable, right? And then you bring in Chris Collinsworth, which, you know, I get where his Bengal, you know, fandom comes from. I completely understand it. And, you know, that's kind of where I'm going. And I like Joey Business. I think that actually does work. I really do. I think that's a great nickname for that kid because he is all business.
Joey Business. I don't know if he's heard that one yet, but maybe I'll mention it to him later.
I hope you do, because if you bring up what you were talking about with him and Stafford, I just think that back and forth with whose dad has done anything better, like, that's hilarious. That'll just be funny.
I know, but I want to get something out of them. I just don't know if I need to be – it's not about me being entertaining, right? Like, and just a perfect example is, like, let's just say you have an opportunity of a lifetime and you go on a game show and you try and be entertaining as opposed to actually winning a prize. What happens then?
And you go 44,000, you know, like, and all you really had to do was 26, but you never really known what a bike could cost.
Exactly. Thank
you. We know, TJ. It's okay. I still love you, and I'm waiting for that dollar.
Thanks, Terzo. Thanks for holding on.
Hold on. I got a funny story for you, Rich. If you can give me just 2 seconds.
Sure.
I hate what the Pro Bowl was yesterday. I really do. It needs to either be flag football, divide everybody up, have a little bit more fun with it. But what they did yesterday, it's not football. It's not fun because everyone's scared of getting hurt. So you either give them the paychecks and just give them the titles of it,
right?
And or you play flag football and you make it a little bit more entertaining. Like, I've been to the Pro Bowl, and the most excitement and the hardest hits that I saw were was the fight that I got in Waikiki the night before. I was held up.
You and Marvin Harrison?
No, thank you. No. Okay. I was not Marvin Harrison, okay. But I was just held up by a Samoan dude, and I'm 6'5". I felt like a child in a carrier. By a big old dude saying, you got to go, bro.
By the way, beautiful picture of you and your dog in the Respect t-shirts. I appreciate you going to our shop, RichEisenShop.com, and doing that. Means a lot. Thanks, brother. I saw that.
Dude, you guys know that I love you. Thank you. Always.
Look at that. Thanks, Terzo. You take care of yourself, man.
That is awesome.
NetSuite by Oracle. Poor visibility may be affecting your businesses. And I'll tell you what, man, if you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software to see the full picture, you've got to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle right now. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth with visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes, close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. Over 20,000 businesses already use NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite is a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/rich. Head to netsuite.com/rich for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses, netsuite.com/rich. Steve in Long Island, New York. Let's take your phone call. What's up, Steve?
Rich, what's going on?
What's in Long Island?
Great show.
Where in Long Island are you? Nassau, Suffolk? Where are you?
Rich is all like by the Hamptons.
Got it. Very, very Tony,
first
sir.
First of all, yes. Your reflection in that trophy looks stunning.
I appreciate that. I agree.
And I just want to do a quick Joe Burrow. Maybe everyone loves a nice cup of Joe.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
A cup of Joe.
Cup
All right.
Joe. And
okay.
For the last call, I was going to do this, you know, flag football. For the first ever flag football.
Yeah,
game,
I hear
NFL.
You. By the way, you know Joe. We should call him. We should call him Bengal Joe, and he's got the beans. Do you think he's got the beans?
Man,
he's got the beans. We know he's got the beans.
You can put beans in the cup.
There you go. Okay. Thanks for the call, Steve.
Sell it on your site.
Thanks for the call, Steve. You be well. Call back. Call back. It's Steve from East Mauritius. You know what I'm saying?
I don't hate a flag football idea.
You know what? I'm
to be honest.
Make it fun.
The one that got in my timeline, the whole Pro Bowl fix that got in my timeline more than just nonstop yesterday.
For the first draft pick?
Yeah, that's the most. Yeah, it's never going to happen. And it's just like, it's not, it makes no sense.
The meaning.
That well, it's just the two teams that are the worst should play each other where the winner gets the first overall draft choice.
Right.
So everybody is going to. So the idea is the two teams that have the longest season are the only two teams that don't make the playoffs who have to still sit around and practice for one more game after the championship is over in the prior to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. After Championship Sunday, you take center stage, and the NFL is going to have as its showcase game the two worst teams in the NFL after a month-long layoff. Right. Two teams that have the U-Hauls backed up since like middle of October, okay? Except Dan Campbell, you know, they only know one speed. They're probably hungry to take some more hunks out of people. But, I mean, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to have them sit around for a whole month and battle it out in a showcase spot for the NFL. Here, everybody, let's put the two worst teams out there. And then the winner gets the first overall draft choice. So the quarterback who wins most likely is about to get replaced. Congratulations.
Yeah.
So left tackle.
Yeah, right.
You just did a great job. Congrats. You just lost your job.
So these guys are going to bust their humps to get replaced.
Yeah. What? Stupidest idea
I thought to myself, how is this even practical?
I
think even remotely going to, because you know, whenever I hear something, it's like, okay, how is it going to work? In the whole business of you know, like, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. You see, Mark Murphy came out in his online column saying we would like to have Aaron Rodgers back. That's the volley.
That's
the no, but that's news. Actually, is that they want to have him back,
right?
Because 2022 is supposed to be the time where absolutely it's now going to be Jordan Love, mm-hmm, come hell or high water. And Rodgers saw that thing come and tried to head it off with the pass all last spring. So how's it going to work? Like, the two of them are going to have to get in the room and declare their love for each other on the count of three? Like,
go.
You know what I'm saying? Like, go.
Like
you
want to
stay. All right, here's what we're going to do. Either you want to stay, you want to go. Either we want to keep you or not. We'll say the word stay or go. Ready? One, two, three. Go.
Stay.
Right? So I'm trying to figure out always how do things work. How would this work?
I think someone thought that was a good idea.
Stick around, everybody, for a full month. For a full month, this is instead of the Pro Bowl, instead of showcasing the best of the best, which the NFL and the Players Association really wants to do. The format, clearly, you might think it needs to be changed. But let's put the worst of the worst out there, where the winner gets the first overall draft choice to replace somebody on the field. Maybe you could take a bet which one is going to lose their job having won this game the most. I read this in my timeline, and a number of people that like at me, like, what do you think? And I'm like, I will finish the show with it tomorrow, and I have just done so.
I think whoever initially put it out probably it felt like a good idea, but you didn't really think about it. Like,
well, anyway, I want to thank today's guests, Trey Wingo, Dan Patrick, Chris Collinsworth. Tomorrow, Al Michaels will call into the program.
All right.
And then in studio, Barry Sanders, Michael Irvin, The Miz, Fanatics Major Domo, Michael Rubin, and Cam Jordan, and
Dang,
you.
Let's go.
That's our Tuesday. Oh, and the Vince Lombardi Trophy will be back. It will not be a hood ornament for Del Tufo.
That's why we got security here.
I was ready.